Welcome to the Legacy Music Hour. My name is Brent Weinbach.
Rob F. Switch is present.
This is the video game music podcast featuring third and fourth generation video game music. And this is episode 269, dudes.
Very nice.
Good one. And we have Gabe Castro here with us as usual. And look, I mean, top of the show business. I have one thing I want to talk about. It's a bit of a, I wouldn't say a rant, but it's something like that. But before I get into that, just wanted to mention that the Legacy Music Hour does have a Patreon account, patreon.com/legacymusichour. And there you can see a full video of all the episodes, because we record all these on Zoom now. So you can see us kind of, making facial expressions and moving our bodies in various ways to the music and to each other's words. Reacting, and you get that, and you also get game reviews on there that I do, playthroughs by Gabe, different things, little bonus show and tell videos and other stuff. patreon.com/legacymusichour. Yeah, check it out if you want. You might find some stuff there's a lot of stuff there from the last few years. And you can also check out youtube.com/legacymusichour for highlight clips from the podcast, and also you can see some other things there as well. I mean, I don't know, there's some playthroughs on there and other stuff. Anything else to mention before I get into this? I don't know if you want to call it a diatribe or what, but...
But you said it was a rant? But not really.
It's not a passionate rant, but it's just something like that
Like a Hidden Valley rant, maybe? not cool rant.
Yeah.
Hidden Valley rant?
Something like that. This is kind of a Hidden Valley rant. Yeah, it's a kind of a Newman's Own. It's a bit of a Newman's Own.
A little saddle rant?
Sort of a wine box own, you know?
Okay.
Saddleback, what did you say?
Saddle rant.
The saddle rant. I guess let's get into this rant. I don't know if it suits for there to be music here at this point, but I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Maybe turn down just a little bit though. So here's what I want to bring up. So this just came to my attention. I don't know if you guys knew this. Maybe you don't know this, Rob, but in a recent put, wouldn't be okay. So Rob and I had a phone call. We talked about the Super Mario Brothers movie. You can check that out on Patreon. And we posted it on Patreon, and the Manitree, otherwise known as Jess Heichel, who does our mixtapes now, he's the mixtape master now, he brought up this point about how, I didn't know this, Cranky Kong, you know who Cranky Kong is, Rob?
Yes.
Cranky Kong is supposedly, officially, the original Donkey Kong from the arcade games, and that the Donkey Kong with the red tie, the Donkey Kong that is the star of Donkey Kong Country and all the Donkey Kongs since then, and the one portrayed by Seth Rogen in the movie, that is his grandson. That's the original Donkey Kong's grandson. Okay, and this is official.
So this is how it is.
Well, this is what I want to get into, okay?
I'm waiting for the rant.
Okay, so it is official because it says so in the manual to Donkey Kong Country. It says in the manual to Donkey Kong Country, and this is what Jess had pointed out, is that it says Cranky Kong is the original Donkey Kong from the arcade games, and that you are... And then anyway, that's just something. And then it's not implied. I mean, it's not said explicitly in Donkey Kong Country, the game. It's implied, though, because the beginning of the title sequence shows that, you know, Cranky Kong spinning, or, what do you call it, rotating a...
controller.
Yeah, what's it called?
A phonograph?
What do they call it? A phonograph or something? You know, an old record player kind of thing. And he's playing the old Donkey Kong theme, and he's standing on a sort of structure that is reminiscent of the kind of structure that would be in the original Donkey Kong game. And then the new Donkey Kong comes in, Donkey Kong as we sort of know him today, with the red tie, and he comes in with a boombox, and it's kind of, you know, hey, here's the new... It kind of seems to say, oh, here's the new Donkey Kong for the new generation.
It's got a lot of tude.
Right? Yeah. And so, anyway, all right, so it's not said explicitly in the game, and I'll tell you why. So, okay, this was all news to me. I had no idea that Cranky Kong was the original Donkey Kong, and that it does say that in the manual, and so he's supposedly, it's official. But here's my rant, or whatever you want to call it. I don't accept it. Okay? I don't accept that Cranky Kong is Donkey Kong. I don't accept that as canon. That's my rant, and here's why.
Okay.
Or that's the thesis of my rant, I guess. I see. Whatever you want to call it. The reason I don't accept it is because the idea that he is the grandfather of the Donkey Kong that is in Donkey Kong Country and subsequent games. Well, for one thing, it doesn't make logical sense. And two, it was just an idea that Rare came up with, who weren't there from the beginning of the, you know, weren't there for the origin of Donkey Kong. It was an idea they made up that they sort of threw in there thinking it was a neat idea and a way to sort of make the new Donkey Kong seem more special, that he's the grandson or something. But they didn't. Okay. I don't believe they really thought it out and thought about the logistics of it and how it doesn't make sense. And I think that they just put it in there. They kind of snuck it into the game also by not having it explicitly be said in the game and only said it in the manual. And they kind of snuck it by Nintendo and, you know, they kind of got it in there. But I just think it doesn't really make a lot of sense, and it's not really the vision of Shigeru Miyamoto. Shigeru Miyamoto, he's the one who created Donkey Kong, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, and I have more to say about this to back this all up, but... So, okay. You know, he made Donkey Kong, right? All right, well, where do I start here with this? Well, for one thing, Shigeru Miyamoto gave them some... Nintendo was not so involved with Rare. They gave them a lot of freedom because they were busy at the time, and so Rare had... They were kind of doing this on their own for the most part, but Shigeru Miyamoto did say... He did give them ideas on how to design Donkey Kong for the game. He said have him wear a red tie, okay? And he does appear in... I think he said that. I'm kind of speculating here, but I think he said that to keep him consistent with the most recent design of Donkey Kong, which was a game that came out the same year as Donkey Kong Country, but a little earlier in the year, Donkey Kong for the Game Boy. So in Donkey Kong for the Game Boy, in the art and in the box art and also for the game itself, he's designed in the same way that Donkey Kong from Donkey Kong Country and other Donkey Kong games is, you know, later games is designed. Red tie, and, well, that's pretty much it, the distinguishing factor for the modern Donkey Kong. And that Donkey Kong is definitely not the grandson of the original Donkey Kong, because that game is based on, you know, the original Donkey Kong arcade game, the Game Boy game. Okay? Does that make sense so far?
Well, Wait. Wait, what is your thesis again? I'm confused.
My thesis is that Rare tried to make this idea up that Cranky Kong is the grandfather of Donkey Kong, and that, you know, Cranky Kong is the original Donkey Kong from the arcade game, but it doesn't really work with Shigeru Miyamoto's vision and with a lot of other factors that I haven't even got into yet.
So you're saying that you don't accept that Cranky Kong is the original Donkey Kong?
Right. And it was okay. It was a flimsy idea that Rare tried to sneak in to the game, and then they did get it in the manual officially, and that made it so it's an official thing, but I don't accept it.
But
and neither Rare, should anybody else.
Rare is the creator of Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm. No, Rare no. got
Donkey Kong Country.
Donkey Kong Country. They developed Donkey Kong Country.
Bunch of
that
British
was their
people.
First time playing with. Yeah, mm-hmm. Rare is a British company, and they got the opportunity to revive. Well, not revive because Donkey Kong on Game Boy came out, but. They got the opportunity to make the Super Nintendo game that was based on, you know, the Donkey Kong franchise.
I see. That, okay.
You know, already existed, you know, and had existed for quite some time. And so, anyway, okay. So, yeah, I think it just doesn't really work. I mean, you know, and also just, it's also really weird to think that Donkey Kong Jr. is Donkey Kong's dad. I mean, that doesn't really make sense, you know, because I mean, here's more point to this is more of my points is that. So it seems to me that Miyamoto's understanding was that the intended main character of Donkey Kong Country was going to be the original Donkey Kong because he was trying to make it. He wanted it to look like the Donkey Kong that was in the Donkey Kong Game Boy game that came out earlier that year. Okay. And also it doesn't even make sense that why would even Donkey Kong age when Mario doesn't age, you know? So if Mario is in Donkey Kong and then, you know, it doesn't really make sense that Mario would be, you know, that Mario doesn't become an old man, you know, there's no cranky Mario.
Right.
So that sort of doesn't make sense that these characters would age, but also to further support the idea that Donkey Kong, the protagonist of Donkey Kong Country, is supposed to be the original Donkey Kong, is that Diddy Kong was originally supposed to be Donkey Kong Jr., but Rare had changed his design so much that Nintendo said, "Oh, that doesn't look like Donkey Kong Jr." So either redesign that to look more like Donkey Kong Jr. or just make him a new character. And Rare opted to make him a new character. So that kind of further supports the idea that Donkey Kong is supposed to be the original Donkey Kong. Because Diddy Kong is a smaller creature than Donkey Kong. It's not as if Donkey Kong Jr. is going to be the sidekick to his son, you know, I mean, or whatever, that's bigger and everything.
So I just pulled up a Donkey Kong family tree here.
Yeah.
Who's Donkey Kong Jr.?
Donkey Kong Jr. is, you know, as he's depicted in Super Mario. What?
I'm sorry, go ahead. I think you're about to say what I was going to say.
Well, okay, I mean, Donkey Kong Jr. obviously is in Donkey Kong Jr., the arcade game, which is, the goal of that is to save Donkey Kong, because he's, you know, Donkey Kong is captured by Mario, and Mario's the villain in that one, and then, so basically Donkey Kong is there to you know, share, Donkey Kong is there, he's meant to be saved by Donkey Kong, and
look at that family tree I just sent you, because there's no Donkey Kong Jr.
No, this family tree is based on something that we shouldn't accept. So, okay, let me explain something. So Donkey Kong Jr., oh yeah, there is no Donkey Kong Jr. here. I mean, well, that's why, this is wrong anyway. This doesn't even make sense anyway. Because
Who's Funky Kong?
Well, hold on a second. Before we get into that.
I got one quick thing too as well. But I don't
Super Mario Kart, by the way, Donkey Kong Jr. is in that game. You can, you know, he's wearing the tank top. Okay, Donkey Kong Jr. wears the tank top.
Oh, that's Donkey Kong Jr. Never mind. That takes. Okay.
Oh, really? Okay, I
didn't know if that was Donkey Kong or Donkey Kong Jr. That was my question.
Donkey Kong Jr. Super Mario Kart.
I noticed I was going to mention the tank tops, and okay, so it is.
Well,
Junior.
The tank top is Junior, okay, and then in Donkey Kong 64, Mario Kart 64, they switch it over to Donkey Kong.
Oh, I never knew it was Junior in the Super Nintendo.
Junior is in Super Mario Kart, and then
I didn't know that.
Regular Donkey Kong is in, or we could say Donkey Kong Senior is right. in Super Mario Kart, you know, with the red tie and all that. But because Rare kind of slipped this idea in that they didn't really think out, I think that it's considered canon, or it's considered official, that Donkey Kong in Mario 64 is actually the grandson of the original Donkey Kong. But I don't accept that, is what I'm saying.
Who's Wrinkly Kong?
I don't really know who these people are in this family. Up, you know? I don't know who these are in this, but that Cranky Kong is. Okay, you know what? Actually, this family tree does sort of somewhat make sense to some degree, in that I do buy that Cranky Kong could be Donkey Kong's granddad or dad or whatever. Oh, in the movie, I guess he's his dad, which also that's yeah. Okay, I can buy that Cranky Kong is Donkey Kong's dad. That's fine, but I don't think Cranky Kong is the I don't accept that Donkey Kong is the original Donkey Kong. Yeah, okay. No. And then okay. Yeah, Donkey Kong Jr. is not even in this tree here. In fact, right. You know what's weird is Donkey Kong Jr. doesn't even seem to exist in the game in Donkey Kong Country. Now, some people also say, because sometimes Cranky Kong is referred to as Donkey Kong's dad, sometimes. That means that Donkey Kong, in that context, it is Donkey Kong Jr. grown up. But again, I don't accept that. Mm. I don't accept that because Diddy Kong...
Pull up that family tree. Blow it up. Pull up that family tree again. Take a quick look at this.
Oh, okay, yeah. There we go.
Oh, you want to do it?
Yeah.
Someone's
here, maybe you should do it, actually. Yeah, you do it.
I'm not doing it.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, I'll do it. So, yes.
I was looking for other Super Nintendo appearances of Donkey Kong, and apparently it's just Donkey Kong Country. I was looking at BS Excitebike, you know, the satellite one, but he's not in that.
Yeah, well, no, the only thing you really can look to is that Game Boy game that came out.
There's Game Boy, and then there's Donkey Kong Land, which is just, basically Donkey Kong Country on Game Boy, so he's got the tie.
Yeah, so the fact that Diddy Kong was meant to be Donkey Kong Jr., that to me just makes it seem like, oh yeah, that's anyway. Basically, Rare kind of came up with this idea that doesn't make sense, and they managed to sneak it in. And by the way, the reason they didn't explicitly say this in the game is because they knew, according to what I read, they knew that Nintendo would probably have a problem with it and would have told them to not do that.
I like now, Chunky Kong.
You hear what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. Candy They're kind
Kong.
Of bad boys.
Candy like Kong. I've never heard of Candy Kong before, but I'm seeing her.
I've never heard of Candy. I've never heard of Kitty or Chunky Kong.
Candy Kong.
Maybe these
is
are
he gonna
in,
put a, yeah. Is he going to put a ring on that, or is he just dating?
Yeah, just as dating. They're just casual, I guess.
Mm.
They're just benefits, you know what I'm saying?
Well, was it always implied or accepted that Diddy Kong is his nephew? Do you accept that?
I can probably accept that, although they appear to be different kind of, you know, species or whatever, you know what I mean? I mean, Donkey Kong is a gorilla and Diddy Kong is some sort of chimpanzee or something, you know?
What are you trying to say?
So, I mean, it doesn't even seem like, okay, I guess they can be, I don't know. I mean, but whatever on that. I mean, anyway, my main point is that we should not be accepting the idea that Donkey Kong, that Cranky Kong is the original Donkey Kong. Kong is supposed to, is the original thing. That's the intention of Nintendo. And, you know, they didn't mention it explicitly in the game because they knew Nintendo wasn't going to go for that, you know, because it doesn't, you know, make sense. And Shigeru Miyamoto specifically wanted him to look like the Donkey Kong in Donkey Kong, the Game Boy game, which is, you know, is supposed to be the original Donkey Kong, the red tie and everything. So, yeah. And I also can, in a way, I can see how I can actually make it work for the game Donkey Kong Country that plays into how I want to see this narrative, you know, or how it should be. And that, and probably how Nintendo saw it, is that Cranky Kong playing the phonograph or whatever of the old song and being on the old structure, he's just an old timer who's just sort of saying, you know, kind of I'm reminiscing about how Donkey Kong used to be. Not that I'm the old Donkey Kong. I'm just reminiscing about the old. This is just that's Donkey Kong for old people is the old way. But hey, we have a new, here's Donkey Kong in a fresh new way, even if it's still the same Donkey Kong, you know.
Oh, you think Cranky and the new fresh Donkey Kong are one and the same?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying Cranky Kong is just an old person who's saying hey, this was the old version, just representing this is the old game, but he's not of that old game.
When playing the game, I always thought he was like Donkey Kong's dad or granddad or something, just from the opening.
Yeah.
And he just happens to be like, maybe this is a long line of Donkey Kongs that, you know, did stuff on the scaffolding and, oh, here comes Donkey Kong. You know, I don't know.
You mean you did think of Cranky Kong as the old Donkey Kong?
I didn't really think about it at all, but if I had to think about it, I would say he would be a father figure, grandfather, but that the Donkey Kong that shows up with the boombox has always been Donkey Kong. I don't know.
Yeah. I believe that Cranky Kong could be his dad or granddad.
Right,
I'm with that. I'll accept that.
I do agree with you. I mean, the Rare, they're kind of bad boys, and they kind of made this change. And there's lots of things that happen like this, and especially localizations. I know this is not one of those cases, but, you know, they just change the story. So.
And they didn't really think it out because it doesn't even make sense. You know, it doesn't make sense that how is Donkey Kong Jr. going to be Donkey Kong's dad? It's just, how is someone's son going to be their dad? You know, it doesn't make sense. So that's it. That's all I got to say. And I just thought I'd bring that to light. And, you know, that's that.
Okay.
And I think we're all on the same page here, I think, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
It just seemed like they thought it was a neat idea. Oh, that'd be a neat idea if Cranky Kong was the original Donkey Kong, but they didn't really think it out, and they knew that Nintendo wasn't going to go for it, so, you know.
They didn't think about the legacy and the consequences of their actions.
I think the whole idea is, I think they just wanted to, the whole idea was to kind of reinvent Donkey Kong for Donkey Kong Country. And
they did.
But they also were kind of maybe taking a little too many liberties there with the lore. Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, that's that. Sorry if that was too long. Yeah.
It's just long enough.
Let's talk about today's episode. This is going to be a... we're going to do... The topic is tracks that end. Okay? A lot of video game music, I would say the majority of video game music, usually loops indefinitely, right?
Yes.
Or loops infinitely. And this episode, no loops. These all end. They all have endings, at least, you know. Or maybe they loop, but they have endings. Does that make sense? If they might end, they might loop, but they have definite endings, you know. They don't just kind of go back into the next track. So yeah, we will just be all of our tracks are tracks that end. Yeah. And I guess I'm going to start things off. Nothing else to mention, guys?
No.
Okay.
Good. Good.
I'm going to start things off with Super Tetris 3 for the Super Famicom. This is from composer Shigemitsu Goto, whose alias is Sir 1008, or SIR-1008. And we're going to hear a track called Moonlight Castle. And you hear this during the credits for the Sparkless mode. There's different modes in Super Tetris 3, and this is Sparkless mode credits. So Sparkless credits. This is the music from that. It's from Super Tetris 3. Thank you. That was a track from Super Tetris 3 for the Super Famicom, music by Shigemitsu Goto. And that was Moonlight Castle, the sparkless credits. And yeah, there's some kind of some neat drums going on in there. And yeah, I mean, it's a pretty simple, you know, it's just a two chord kind of progression here, but yeah, I don't know. It's pretty catchy, though. Yeah,
it's cool.
And some kind of neat stereo effect going on, too.
It's interesting, this metal guitar.
Right. Distorted guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to how the drums play into this. Yeah. It's almost like a drum solo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's neat how the... Yeah, that's neat.
Very good.
Oh, please, by all means.
I would like to start off with TurboGrafx 16.
Yeah.
Por favor. And let's go with 21 Imon, Mezase Hotel U. And we're back with the Legacy Music Hour. That was the title. Title track to 21 Imon Mezase Hotel O. You know it'd be good at that one. That was so perfect. And within the first 5 seconds, 5 seconds,
mm-hmm.
you got to act like you're doing something, and then you see the camera, and then you smile.
Oh,
and
you
then
think I'll, so?
Then right after, I will do something, look at the camera, then a smile, and then Gabe will do something.
Okay. So
that's the intro.
All right, let's give it a shot.
Are you ready for that?
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Wait, you're going to go first or me?
No, you go first.
Sorry. Okay.
Wait, you go first.
You do something
then
and I play
Gabe.
The track?
Okay, all right. Let's try it again.
No. Play the track.
Okay,
and then within 5 seconds,
gotcha.
Let's you go. Notice the camera.
Okay,
and then
okay.
I'll go within 5 seconds.
Right.
And then Gabe goes within 5 seconds.
Okay, got it. I'm ready.
You guys got it?
Okay.
Here
we go. Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the sitcom intro right there.
Patreon that's exclusive.
Did you see what I was? What were you? What was I doing? You think?
I don't know. I don't know where that pen was. I don't smelling want to know where it was.
Right.
But it's like we caught you in the middle of something.
Yeah.
Whereas me, it was the cap was on the camera. Oopsie.
Gabe's was good, but to see Gabe's, you're gonna have to, you know, check out the Patreon. Okay. I think, right?
Okay. Most likely.
You nailed that one, Gabe. You nailed it.
Yeah, I nailed. Yeah, nice. That was a good finish. Really that was a good finish for that. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm gonna do a track here from. I'm gonna stick with the TurboGrafx 16, kind of. Not really TurboGrafx 16. We're saying PC Engine. I'm gonna stay. That was PC Engine, wasn't it? That last track.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna stick with the PC Engine, and play something from Kaizo Shojin Shubibin Man. That game, you know, the first one in the series, which we've heard from before. This is from composer Hiroshi Taguchi, and whose alias is Goblin. And we're going to hear Marginal Power, which is the title track. Now, look, this track ends, but it does repeat in-game on the title screen. So when it finishes, it does start back over again. You know, it's keep that in mind. So, but it does end, you know, I mean, there's definitely the track wraps up, it ends, but then very quickly it will start over on the title screen. So I don't know, just saying that it's not, you know, it does loop, but it's not, it's, it does end. Okay. Just saying that. And here it is. Music from Kaizo Chojin Shubibin Man.
What was that?
I think for that one, that was I mean, I don't know, there was a little sound sample there at the end there. It's funny because that one is it almost reminded that noise at the or that voice sample almost sounds kind of like you know how Carlos Mencia and other people would do that?
It
almost kind of sounds like that a little bit. You know?
I guess so, yeah. I guess so.
Anyway, that was Kaizo Chojin Shubibin Man for the PC Engine and music by Hiroshi Taguchi. And that was Marginal Power, the title. But music in this game is really good, and really catchy tracks in this soundtrack, you know? Wait. You know what? Is this guy's name Hiroshi Taguchi? Is it Taguchi or Taguchil? Did I miswrite this here? Hold on a second. Can't be. Shoot, that's a typo.
Yeah, it's good though.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah, this is neat, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how where that I put that. There's an L I put in there on accident in the track listing.
It's okay. It's not up yet.
No, there is on the episode 266 though. We gotta fix that in October. Okay, so here, listen to this. So it's like that. But yeah, that's kind of funny that he does that noise there, you know? What is he saying? Is he saying Shaboobin Man? Actually, can you rewind it to that part? Is that possible?
Shoo-doo-doo.
Is he saying Shaboobin Man? Is it
Shoo-doo-doo. It's like, I think he's saying something like Shoo-doo-doo.
Wait.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was wondering if it was, yeah, some sort of. Anyway, there you have it. You know, so that's a good track, and you know, you got some shoo-ba-doo, whatever you want.
Shoo-ba-doo. I would like to. Let's. NEC. More NEC. NEC for you and for me.
Shoo-ba-doo.
Newtopia. Newtopia.
Okay, Newtopia. Yeah, this is the classic kind of TurboGrafx 16 game. Kind of like a Legend of Zelda style game.
I would like the opening, please, if you will. How you open a game right there. Hit that one more time. No?
There's a zipped up right there.
Oh.
Is it a little pomp and circumstance-y? Something.
Oh. Yeah, it's a classic sound. It's a classic trumpet sound, you know.
Very regal. Cinemas.
All right, well, I have an arcade game next here. This is Soldam. You know, can't get enough of Soldam, you know. Soldam's just got the hits, well, doesn't it?
Shoot, boot, doo, 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 Soldam.
Wait, what? Oh, what? What do you mean?
It's like Soul Train.
Oh, okay.
But then I combined the other the track we did earlier. Shoot, boot, doo, doo, doo. That's how the theme song used to start.
Mm-hmm.
Did you not watch Soul Train?
A little bit, yeah. I did. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Don Cornelius.
Correct.
So Soldam, I mean, everybody knows Soldam is just a hit maker, you know. It's just hit after hit on Soldam, the arcade game. So, yeah, we're going to hear the title track, and this is from composers Yasuyuki Suzuki and Atsuyoshi Isamura. I'm leaning more towards Suzuki on this one just because seems like more Suzuki style, but... Yeah, Soldam for the arcade title screen.
Good.
Yeah. So that's Soldam for you. I mean, come on, you know. Soldam, you know. I just these tracks, you know, Soldam for the arcade, Yasuyuki Suzuki and Atsuyoshi Isamura. That's the title right there. I mean, this is just, you know, they know what they're doing here, you know. Listen to that.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's really good.
I like that, you know. I mean, this just, they really created an atmosphere with this track, you know? That's nice.
A banger. That is a banger. Yeah. And my cat got into it. And
oh yes.
If you guys want to see the video,
that's definitely Patreon exclusive.
Something that's usually only on the OnlyFans, but the cat gave it up for the Patreon.
For the Soli dams.
Those full backle.
Whatever the soul dams. They give it up for the Soli dams. Actually, soul kind of almost. It's almost like solo, which is like only, you know?
I don't know if you want to hear it again, but I do.
What? Oh, I mean, whatever. Hey, if you have anything else to say. I mean, man, I love this. I love they got the conga drums and stuff. I mean, this is just really got a good little sort of, I don't know, tropical kind of Latin rhythm here, you know? I mean, this is...
As Brent Weinbach would say, it's a vibe. He says that a lot.
Oh, yeah, all the time. This is good right here.
This is very good music.
I mean, Soldam just has the whole soundtrack. It's probably one of the best soundtracks.
I don't know what this sounds like on the Game Boy, if it's even on there, but I love the arrangement on Game Boy.
Yeah.
But you can't beat this right here.
Yeah. Ah, that's a nice release right there.
That's a banger. That was good. That was really good.
Yeah. All right, carry on. Oh, no, it's Gabe now, actually.
What's that?
All right, it's Gabe Corner time. Sorry, Gabe's Corner. I'm going to open up with kind of a classic for me personally. This is
Rob's Cat opened up earlier, by the way.
That's right.
Oh, man.
This is Shadow the Ninja for the NES. Yeah. Ika Mizutani, Koichi Yamanashi, whatever. Yamanishi, is that it? Shadow the Ninja, NES, title screen, opening. That's it. The Ninja, title screen, prologue. I think it's called prologue officially. I'm not sure.
And you said that was Iku Mizutani and Koichi Yamanishi?
Yamanishi, thank you. Yes. Yeah. I couldn't remember the second one.
Yeah. Oh, you were just going off of memory on that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
Well, because I think they also did Shatterhand together. I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Break that down a little.
Yeah, man, you know, this is some classic Natsume sound here, you know?
Yeah. This is classic Mizutani, I feel.
Right. I kind of said right to the echo of the...
Yeah. Right.
I like that. I like that there.
I like this bass rise.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's a good track, yeah.
Great game.
Good track, yeah.
Great soundtrack. You know they're making there's a new version of it coming out called Shadow of the Ninja Reborn, and it's all like 16-bit looking. Mm. And I don't think I quite like it. I don't know, I saw one trailer. Maybe
it's 16-bit?
It's like 16-bit style, yeah.
But, you know that Shadow of the Ninja, for some reason, was a game that did officially get reprinted.
Yeah.
You know, in recent years.
I think Scat did too, maybe. Another Natsume, a bunch of Natsume games, actually, or a few of them.
Yeah, it's interesting how that goes down. And... I'm down with that.
I think that's official.
I think that's cool. I think it's cool to have reissues of games that are official reissues. You know,
that's right.
Of course, you know, because I'm irrational when it comes to game collecting, I wouldn't go for that. I would want the original. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I think I would want the original over the reissue, you know?
It's interesting because they do reissue a lot of games that are super expensive, and Shadow the Ninja has gotten expensive, but it's not that expensive.
I know, it's not that expensive.
It's maybe like $50, I don't know, loose. But it's probably like $60 with the new, you know, with the box and everything, so.
What if they did a reissue of, say, Rygar on PS4?
Well, that's just a port, then.
PS5.
That'll just be a port, and that's fine for people who do that.
I mean, that happens, you know, but yeah. That's not... What do you mean by that? If that's a port, we're talking about a reissue...
Like they came out with a cartridge again, like NES cartridge.
Yeah, it wasn't like they reissued it. It's not like they ported it and made it available on a new system. They made a new printing of the carts for Nintendo.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying here.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Anyway.
I'll just move on to my next one.
Yeah, please do.
This comes from I think we've heard from this game, maybe. This is Track and Field for the Game Boy. And this is the opening of that
game.
I don't know if we
heard from the Game Boy version of this. Mm-hmm.
Track and Field is the reason.
We have not. Sorry.
I got such buff thumbs.
Yeah.
Really, really got my thumb workout on the Track and Field.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Thumbs are looking swole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Patreon exclusive right there, ladies and gents.
So it's TNF fingers right there, thumbs. All right, Track and Field.
It's for the Patreon only right there.
Wow. Yeah, it's like you unholstered that quick style.
Got experience, you know? Track and Field, Game Boy.
Oh, a little over too soon on that one.
Yeah, that could have been a Wish There Was More.
Yeah, that's a Wish I Was There Was More, definitely. More. That's definitely a Wish There Was More. That track is cool. I never heard that one before. And
there's a lot of good tracks on
honestly,
this.
Honestly, that could have been some top 10. No offense, that could have been a top 10er right there.
Really?
But it's a little short, though.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wanted more out of this. You
it
know?
Can't be a 10er if it's too short, basically, is what you're saying.
Kind of, in a way.
That's kind of how it works, I guess. I don't know if this file is right, but it says Akihiro Juichiya.
That's really cool. I like that.
Bass, yeah. Love this. The triplet fill at the end.
If it just went into another,
I know.
You know, kind of return section, boom. You know, like if it just kind of went back to an A section, boom, right. You could have just finished that track out and just it could have been a top 10.
Yeah, right, well, there. It's kind of cool. I loaded the game to check it out to make sure it didn't repeat or something, and it's got this whole cinematic of the intro of the Olympics or, you know, whatever the events are.
That's a good track.
Yeah. I'm like, well, almost done. It's kind of got a slight Gradius kind of sound to it. Or just shooter sound.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Bass.
Hmm. Great.
The triplet fill.
Great. Yeah, the triplets are great. It's all
so effective. Well placed triplets.
It's great. That's great, man. That's great. I like it. It could still be a top tenner. Who knows? Okay. You know, I'm gonna it could be a top tenner even if it's short. You know.
And that's that ends Gabe's Corner.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
It's funny. I've had that on my list for like. Probably a year or two, and I was like, it's too short to play.
Yeah, man. Sometimes it's like that with these tracks; they're too short. I don't want to waste space. I don't want to waste my slot with a short track. But then there's short tracks are tracks too.
Yeah.
Shorties are tracks too. That's not even a shorty, but anyway.
Right.
Okay. I would I'm gonna go with Game Gear. Let's go to Game Gear and let's go to Headbuster. And this is the credits track. What do you got?
I you didn't mention the composer of this, but I'm guessing that this is why did I just forget his name? Takanouchi. Why am I forgetting the first name right now? Motoaki Takanouchi. It sounds so much like his style. I don't know. Maybe it's not, but I'm just guessing just based on the style, because it really reminds me of, you know, the Shining Force games, you know?
Well, the composers listed on Wikipedia, never Noriyuki Iwadare, Isao Mizoguchi, and Hiroshi Fujioka.
Well, okay. Well, I don't know. It really sounds like Motoaki Takanouchi, you know. But
hey, on VGMDB, it's what Rob listed as well.
Yeah. Yeah, really, that's something that sounds so like Shining Force kind of thing, you know.
More Shining Force 1.
Or not even Shining Force 1, but some of the Shining Force game gear stuff, you know.
Oh, sure.
Let me hit that one more time.
Right here, this is so Takanouchi. Mm. Right here, too. Right there. That was very Shining Force, you know? Okay. Yeah. Headbuster. Huh?
Okay.
Headbuster, huh?
Shining Force was the first, or on Game Gear, was the first Shining Force game I played.
And one
like, one of like the two or three Game Gear games I ever had. Yeah.
So you played that? Okay.
I had Game Gear briefly when I was young.
But you didn't play that before. You played Shining Force 2 before that, I guess, right? On Genesis, right?
No, I played the Game Gear first.
Oh, that's the first Shining Force game you played?
Yeah.
Huh.
And then I played one, I don't know, maybe a year or two after.
On Genesis.
Genesis.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I'm going to play something that I think Rob's cat might like. This is a Super Famicom game we haven't heard from in a while called Asamashime Nyanko. And this is, we're going to hear the title screen. Or the title music, and this is from Eiji Hirasawa and Toyokazu Nagaishi. And this is, again, a track that does, in the game, in the title screen, it does loop over after it ends. So I would say for this one, Yeah. So this does loop over after it ends. So it'll end and then immediately loop over again, as you'll see. Just giving you a heads up. I mean, it does that in the game, you know. So, anyway, Asamashime Nyanko for the Super Famicom title. So that's Asamashime Nyanko for the Super Famicom, and that's the title screen. Eiji Hirasawa and Toyokazu Nagaishi. Or Nagaishi. I almost kind of wonder if, Rob, I wonder what would happen if you try to put your headphones on your cat and how your cat might respond to this music. Because there's, you know, there's cat noises in there, you know?
I know. Those are cat. I wonder if she would understand, you know?
Do you think maybe you could do that? You think you'd be able to get the headphones on your cat?
Well, I don't know where she went now. She's somewhere.
Kind of, I want to see this. I want to see what happens if you do that.
Sounds like a Mario Paint remix.
Oh, yeah, kind of. Yeah, it does, right, because there's a cat sound in that, too. Oh, here comes the cat. To turn it up a little bit so that the cat can definitely hear this. I don't know. Play it again, kind of loud. Wow, that's interesting. This cat was listening to that. Yeah. I wonder what your cat thought of that.
She's like, I could do better. The Siamese boy. It's good. I like this.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good soundtrack. There's a lot of good tracks in this game.
Did you make music in Mario Paint?
Yes, I did, certainly, but I also, more so, remember that issue of Nintendo Power where they taught you how to program Nintendo music into Mario Paint?
Yep.
And do the graphics from the, you know, do little scenes from the Nintendo games? So I did that with, I remember doing that, you know, making the you know, Super Mario Brothers music and maybe Metroid or something like that.
It's probably the game I played the most.
Mario Paint?
On Super Nintendo, yeah, doing the music.
Really, wow.
And I love the Game Boys because, you know, they sound like Game Boys or chiptune.
Yeah.
You know what that track reminded me of? What's the track?
Keep it cruising, yeah.
That one, hold on, pause it real quick. That one track, it goes, da, 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 na, da, na, da, na, 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 da, na, da, you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
Doesn't that ring? Play the track. Doesn't it? But here it comes. What's that track? That part.
Dun. I know what you mean. But play it again. Well, never mind. It'll play. It plays again right now. Dun, dun, dun.
What's that?
Yeah, dun, I don't know. I don't know. It does.
Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, this is a banger. two paws up.
When you sing it, it sounds like that Elastica song. Dun, 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 dun. Which takes the Wire song, but so it sounds like.
Hmm.
That's good. We can wrap this one up.
See how it is.
What?
So I see how it is.
Oh, I mean this track. Okay. I mean. Yeah.
Okay. I would like to move on to Aztec Adventure. This is on the Sega Master System. This is title screen music. Aztec Adventure.
I think it's high, huh?
One more time.
I don't really hit those high notes here. I mean, those get so high. Some of those frequencies are so high. It almost sounds like it's going into animal territory.
Right.
Yeah. That last note almost sounds like I'm doing a hearing test or something. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That sounds like an older piece. I mean, that must be from an older game, huh? I'm guessing that's from 85 or something, you know?
The box cover has the grid. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they all have the grid.
They all have it.
Didn't the newer ones not have that? The newer Sega Master System games?
No, I think all of Sega Masters have it.
Every Sega Master System game had the grid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, even the card
ones. You're sure. You're willing to stake your reputation on it?
I'm not, but I am. Gabe is.
It's 1988.
Wow, that's okay. Wait, are you sure that's the original release of it?
No, I mean, that was North America.
Because I'm wondering if it came out of Japan.
No, it
did.
87.
87.
September, okay. 87. March, 88.
September.
And in Europe, okay. October, 88. Slept on that one.
Huh, okay. Should I go to my next track, or did you want to say anything else, or hear it another time, or anything like that?
I just want to further drive the point on that every Master System game has a grid on it, on the cover. I don't really know, but that's my guess.
No, I think they all do.
It's not like Genesis, where the early ones did, and then
the what?
Like Genesis, the early ones, a lot of them did, and they kind of did away with it.
Right. Okay, here we have a track here from Super Famicom, Leading Company. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is basically a jazz album, and we have here, this track is composed, this is called Toma's Bossa, and this is from composer Yoshihisa Tomobechi, and with an improvised solo by Bruce Williamson, who plays the saxophone in this track. And, I mean, it's not going to really sound like a saxophone when we hear it, but yeah, that solo was Bruce Williamson. That's why I'm mentioning him. And but yeah, Yoshihisa Tomobechi with Toma's Bossa from Leading Company for the Super Famicom. Thank you. That was music from Leading Company from composer Yoshihisa Tomabechi. That was Toma's Bossa with an improvised solo from Bruce Williamson.
It was so good. When it really kicks into high gear, oh man, that was a very nice surprise.
I'm glad you like it.
I mean, hit me with that one more time.
Yeah, hit it with more.
Oh, you betcha.
Oh, you betcha.
I'm sorry.
This almost kind of sounds like chopsticks or something. What?
The bass, doesn't it sound like, is it F-Zero or Pilot Wings? Dun, dun, dun.
Oh,
what is
oh
that?
Maybe Pilot F-Zero. Wings? F-Zero. F-Zero.
F-Zero, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, F-Zero. With chopsticks on top.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so this whole album is basically a jazz album, and they recorded, for people who are not familiar, they recorded to make this. It's such a weird way they did this. They recorded a jazz band playing these songs, and then they transcribed their solos and stuff for the soundtrack of this game. So they recorded everything with real instruments first, and then they adapted it for, the Super Famicom.
That's cool, I think. I'm guessing there's an album that was released.
They released an album for it that is the Range album, which is weird because that was recorded before the game
the
soundtrack
album.
Was released. But it was recorded for the purpose of the soundtrack.
Then. Right. So I guess this would be the arrangement then.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Is the solo here from Bruce Williamson.
That's square wave sax.
Right. Yeah, I think he may be playing an alto saxophone, so yeah, I guess they went with the square to represent the alto saxophone. It's just, what a weird way to go about making a soundtrack to a video game, you know? Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's just interesting to just say, okay, we're going to record a session here with a jazz band, and they got these American guys to do it, too. Well, most of them, except for Tomabechi, you know? And, just to say, we're going to... Yeah, let's make the soundtrack really kind of sound like a jazz album, and we're just going to record a jazz band and then just transcribe everything. That's just so interesting, transcribing the solos and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's also interesting. I mean, I wonder how hard or easy that is to transcribe.
I was thinking it would be
to take a solo
hard.
To actually, you're getting somebody's solo and just putting that into programming that. Yeah.
Well, I know later on they had some sort of MIDI interfaces for these things. So I wonder if they transcribe it to like MIDI, and then we're able to, instead of doing like hex code,
right. Just like that, it's over.
Nice one. Nice one. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's all I'm going to say.
Really? For what, that track?
Wow. You don't know what I said. You don't know what I said.
I know I'm not, and I'm not, and only the Patreon people know. But I mean, really, for that track, that one, interesting. Wow.
Okay. Let's see here for the final one. I'm going to go back to the Game Gear. Well, something called Crystal Warriors. And this is the credits music. Crystal Warriors. It's the credits music. That's when you have successfully gathered all the crystals, gone through battle to get them.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't even know what this game's about.
Yeah, it's I like this. This is a good track. Good track here, yeah.
Composer Yukifumi Makino.
This has got a pop sound to it, you know? It's got a pop sound, but it also kind of makes me think of being in a woodcutter's or a wood shop kind of place, you know, where there's clocks and things ticking and stuff, you know what I mean? It seems there's almost something kind of mechanical and toy-like about this, and kind of, but yeah, something like that.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
There's a turn-based RPG strategy similar to Shining Force. It seems. And you have to collect four crystals of some sort.
Yeah, this is kind of got the pop sound. This is the ending track, you say?
Mm-hmm. Credits.
Credits, yeah.
Credits.
Créditos.
Little rattle at the end there.
The rattle at the end's definitely got a sort of secret sound to it, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? I like this intro. Yeah, I like the, you know, the kind of backing to it.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, look, I mean, for a full track listing, you can check out legacymusichour.com. And you can comment there if you want. You can also go to our Discord, which is, there's a link to that on the on legacymusichour.com if you want to comment there. There's an episode discussion channel on our Discord. And you can also contact us if you like at legacymusichour@gmail.com for any tips and tricks, any secrets. And you can join our the Facebook page if you want. I don't know, maybe that's an easier way of getting notified of when episodes come out. Episodes come out every first Wednesday of the month, and then after that, all the other Wednesdays of the month are mixtape releases. So those are music-only mixes of our of all the episodes, past episodes, and those come out every Wednesday that is not the first Wednesday of the month. Thank you to Jess Heichel, the manager, who helps compile those mixtapes and edits them together and everything. And we're catching up. You know, we're in the 200s now for the mixtapes, so we're in the same century as our the normal episodes. So we're catching up. You know, maybe just a couple more years or so until we get to where we, you know, where it's just the same month. We got the same mixtape coming out. And what else? I mean, hey, if you like the show, feel free to go to Apple Podcasts and find it and rate and review it. You know, just then if you don't like it too much, don't even bother.
Yeah, don't do that.
What else? So next week, okay, what do you think for next month, guys? Do you think, would you be open to just doing a jazz episode? We haven't done one of those in a long time. No, you're not.
I'm with Gabe.
Really? No jazz? Yeah. Okay, damn. Okay, really? Sure?
Oh, did you just say a swear word?
Huh?
Did you just swear?
No.
I thought that word was not allowed.
What word? What did I say?
The D word.
I didn't say that. I mean, I don't know what D I, and then you know the rest.
No. D-A.
D-A. What did I say? D-A?
D-A-M.
Damn?
Yeah.
That's okay.
I thought that wasn't allowed.
No, it's not. That's not allowed.
I feel like I cut a damn out before. Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
Really? Sorry. Damn is fine. But well, there ain't nothing wrong with damn.
Then. All right, then.
Well, there was earlier a track that was Soul Damn. I mean.
That's true. Yeah.
But
jazz, huh?
You don't want to do jazz, though, huh?
I could, but
let's come on, guys. Let's do it for old time's sake.
No,
listen, you're the jazz guy.
My definition of jazz is different than your definition.
I'm not talking about elevator music. I'm talking about just jazz.
Yeah. Well, what is jazz?
You know, anything with a swing to it, you know?
No.
You know what something, when it sounds jazzy, at least something jazzy.
That last track was jazz. It was jazzy.
You thought this was jazz?
Do you see what I'm saying? It's not going to work. It's never going to work.
Oh, come on now. You know what jazz sounds like. The track before that, the Tomas Bossa one, that was jazz.
Well, that was definitely jazz. I mean, that's a jazz album.
Yeah, but that's easy. You can identify jazz. Let's do a jazz episode, guys. Come on.
You two call the shots.
I'm not a jazz guy.
I'm not a jazz guy.
I have some real good jazz tracks lined up here as a thing. Jazz. I got some good jazz tracks here.
Well, how about you play some jazz?
I'm not going to do it. It's not smooth. I never said smooth jazz. Yeah. Did you say smooth jazz? I'm not talking about smooth. I said
you can hit the jazz tracks, and then I'll do whatever I think is jazz-ish.
I'll do jazz.
You think this is jazz? Honestly, be honest here. You think this is jazz-ish?
Could be.
No. Oh, come on. No. Yeah, that ain't gonna work. It's not gonna work.
That's what I'm saying.
What is jazz about this to you? Thank you.
It could
but
be.
What do you want? Maybe in the sense of a in the freest. No, there's no way. I was. There's not no way. I mean,
would you say Skeleton Crew is jazzish?
No, not at all. What are you talking about? Jazz,
Skeleton it's free Crew. Jazz. It's kind of free jazz.
I mean, the
yes,
freest.
Exactly.
Free jazz on free jazz in a way that no one's ever heard before.
Exactly. Then I'm not doing the jazz episode. I'm not doing.
But
it.
Wait, wait.
I'm
you're basically saying that jazz is anything.
It is.
No,
it
it's
is.
Not. Jazz
it's
is
everything, and it's nothing.
No, it's no.
Let's just say I have lots of tracks on my playlist, not one of them jazz.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so easy, man. I've got, by the way, I have tracks to spare, too.
Then we're just playing your tracks.
Well, yeah, if that's, if
that's
you can't come up with
that is what I would do in that case.
If you can't come up with anything, I mean, look, I've got, look, there's a Versus Excite By track that you would love, Gabe. There's a jazz track
I know
there,
the track, you know? And I do, yeah, no, I do. I like that, yeah.
There's lots of jazz out there that is easy, man. We got King of Casino if you need, you know.
Hey, like I said, it's up to. It's
I mean,
up
look,
to the
Leading Company.
Use.
You know the soundtracks to go to. Leading Company and so forth. You know?
Man, this would be so obvious to pull from. Not this, but Leading Company would be so obvious. I'd have to dig into the Crystal Warriors jazz album here. So.
I know that Rob is capable of it because we've done jazz episodes in the past. A couple of them, in fact.
I think there's always a thing because there's always an issue because I'll bring a track and then it's not jazz enough. Or
I think you're thinking maybe because it's elevator, maybe it wasn't elevator enough or something. Like that.
I feel that's correct. What about like racing?
I got tracks that I would like to play.
Other sports or something. Or I don't know.
We could just. How about this?
What do people like?
How about this?
Well, okay.
Can we do,
how about
the people can
how
vote?
How about jazz? Jazz, but beyond 16-bit.
No.
Aha. Okay.
How about this?
On Saturn or something.
What if we did this? What if we do it not next month, but the month afterwards? Can we? So you have a couple months for that. You know?
I'll put it on. I'll consider it. I'll consider it.
So that we'll just do free play on the next one. And then you just free play on the next one,
oh,
and
I
then
like
you go
themed episodes though. Maybe do like another themed episode. I think people prefer as a user myself. When I was just a user, I always preferred the themed episodes. I mean, I like them all. Don't get me wrong.
Uh huh.
It's just nice. It's cool to have like a focus. I think.
Uh huh.
Racing, sports.
I had this one idea for an episode that was repetition. You know, that tracks that employed repetition. You know,
those are hard because you have tracks ready to go.
I have two tracks ready to go for repetition. I still would need to find three. Okay. I have for the jazz. I have eight tracks, so I have tracks to spare here. I've got three tracks that I can give you.
It's probably
that
like
easy.
A Knuckles Chaotix jazz track or something.
There's a lot. It's
easy. A lot out there. Yeah. Does it have to be straight jazz or is it like jazz inspired?
I'd say just has to be jazz or jazzy.
Yeah. Well.
You know, maybe it's got a swing to it. Maybe it's got some jazz licks.
Like a New Jack kind of swing?
Yeah, sure. Maybe. Maybe.
New Jack Hustler?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of tracks. I bet Soldam, I haven't even looked, but I bet Soldam has some jazzy stuff, you know? All right, well, we'll just do a free play next month for the next month, and then the month after that, let's get a jazz thing going. It'll give you time to gather stuff.
Think about it.
So, what else? Thanks to Gabe Castro for behind the scenes and in front of the scenes work. What else? That's it, I think. Right. I mean, I'm just trying to think. Am I missing anything here? Okay, let's fade this out and let's get into our closing track here.
All right, we're going to close with a track from Soldier Blade for the TurboGrafx 16 ending.
Okay.
It's kind of a downer, but I like it. I mean, it's kind of sad, but
yeah.
I like it.
Well, okay. My name is Brent Weinbach.
I am Rob F. Switch.
The name of the program is The Legacy Music Hour. Thank you for listening.
Perfect. I knew it was going to do that. I was waiting for it. That was great. Damn, that was a banger.
You knew it was going
to
do that?
I knew. I was just waiting for it to go. What do you call it when it does that?
I don't know. Pickety third, maybe? I don't know.
No, that's
pickety
not.
Pickety third? I think so, yeah. Yeah, it's you think it's gonna end on a minor and it ends on a major.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's so good. Damn, that was good.